Good afternoon for Weather and Ag in Focus, and a lovely, lovely afternoon it is, actually. Shooting for a high of 43 degrees today. This March weather ought to be a lot of fun. Maybe a little bit of chance of snowfall late in the week, but overall, it's going to be nice for all of you who are planning on still getting some things done outside. You know, in winter sports, you have the chance. I will say it's softening up, and that makes it a little messy for upcoming calving and lambing, but we're pros at this, right, everybody? We know how to get things cleaned up and get cattle in where it's dry and do the best that we can. Well, there is a little bit of a weather to cover. I don't think we have anything that's terribly surprising on it. Addison, do you have a weather report from Dean for us to play? That would be awesome. Addison's going to help us out and run that for me.
Bridget, we have some really nice early March weather heading our way this week. Normal highs this time of the year should be in the upper 20s. Instead, we're going to be in the 30s, 40s, and even some low 50s before the week is done. Unbelievable. Now, for the rest of today, we're looking at pretty decent weather. A lot of sunshine and temperatures topping out in the low 40s today. A little cooler in the Northern Valley into Northwest Minnesota with a south wind today at about 5 to 15. Clear to partly cloudy skies tonight. We'll drop down into the mid-20s with south east winds on the light side. Those winds turn lightly to the northwest on Tuesday under partly cloudy skies. Just a few degrees cooler, but still well above normal with highs in the mid to upper 30s. And Wednesday, the warmest day of the week, we're looking at temperatures right around 50 degrees for a high. Now, the record on Wednesday is 55, set back in 2000. Don't think we're going to quite get there, but let's see if maybe we can at least tie that on Wednesday. And then slightly cooler weather on Thursday, low 40s, and then back to reality on Friday with highs right around the freezing mark. Slight chance for a little light snow on Friday. Right now, the weekend looks pretty decent with temperatures in the low 40s. And then it looks like a few more storms are on the horizon for next week with cooler temperatures, at least to start next week. So we're about 12, 13 inches behind on snowfall. Not much this week, but I do think we're going to get a little more active as we head into next week.
Well, that's the end of that weather. But all of us looked at each other with the expectation of, wait, is there more? But I guess it was so good, he just thought he'd stop right then.
We'll never know how it ends, I guess.
Well, I think we'll be okay. We know that today the highs are going to be up in the 40s. It's really nice out there. You don't have to worry about starting your car long distance from the building that you were in. So thank you to Progressive Ag. They are our risk management specialists, and they make sure that we get to hear the weather, and hopefully all of it, from time to time when we do the show. Oh, good things today, and opening up those phone lines to those who want to call in. You can reach us on the JLA Insurance phone line. That is 701-293-9000. We are now into March. Crop insurance changes are coming quickly, and you have a sign-up date for farmers and ranchers by March 16th. So with those higher premium subsidies, more coverage options, and the stronger benefits for beginning farmers, you're going to want to have a talk with Nate at JLA Insurance. Today, you can send me emails as well. My email inbox is ag@flagfamily.com, and it's sponsored by Superior Grain Equipment. You can protect your farm's future with Superior Grain Storage, Drying, and Handling Solutions. They are at superiorbins.com. I'm at ag@flagfamily.com. Now, okay, so I got to check. Addison, is everything going smoothly in the control room before I follow it up for you?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't know if smooth's the right word, but I mean, nothing's gone horribly wrong yet.
To listeners and viewers on our Lighthouse Commodity live stream, they may see things as just moving right along at an extremely smooth pace. We are like the ducks furiously paddling underneath the water surface while the duck glides along. That seems fair.
Yeah, I would say so. Like I told you last week, the other week, both me and our sports producer, James, we learned that there's an alarm that goes off in here if things really aren't going well. And just the fact that we didn't know that is a thing, and now we know it's a thing, really goes to show how well last week was going.
It's better than we expect, I'm sure of it. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the reason I ask, because I'm about to follow things up by having folks call in. They don't even know what for yet. But when I was in San Antonio last week at Commodity Classic, the folks at Fendt did a fabulous job of hosting. I was there for their VIP kickoff for their new Vario 1000 Gen 4 tractor, new 550 horsepower tractor. They allowed me to, during their VIP event, broadcast from the cab of their tractor. And then through the week, I was in their Rogator and then in the new T9 Ideal Combine. And before I left, I got a really great gift from them for me to pass on to you as listeners. So if you're on the live stream with Lighthouse Commodities, where you can watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Acres TV, you will see on the desk, and I think, Addison, you can probably put a camera on it, I have a Fendt summer hat, one of those, you know, white mesh back ones so you can get the dappled effect of sunshine on your maybe balding head. Then we've got a stocking cap. We have a Fendt insulated Stanley mug, and there's some other little goodies in the bag of items. And what I'm going to ask is, because this was the, it was the 30th anniversary of the Commodity Classic. I don't want to go all the way to 30. I'm going to cut that a little short.
Fair.
How about if we just take it to 13? 13 instead of 30. The 13th caller gets that prize package. I will have it at the front desk after the show today to pick up. That is a gift package from Fendt and AGCO. They are the leaders in the field, and we continue to make sure that leaders drive Fendt. So thank you to Fendt for sponsoring that and for letting me be down at Commodity Classic next week. So again, Addison's going to take caller number 13. That's on the JLA insurance phone line of 701-293-9000. Lots of things been going on in the news. While I was at Commodity Classic, one of those was USDA Secretary, the head of all of USDA, Secretary of Ag, Brooke Rollins, was there. And she talked about the $11 billion rescue program called the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. And it's a safety net to help farmers adjust for some of the situations happening in the marketplace. And signups for these bridge payments are currently underway with the Farm Service Agency, even allowing those in attendance at Commodity Classic to finalize their applications on the trade show floor. If you stopped by the USDA booth, they had live demonstrations, and you were able to go in through their portal for, they're calling it the One Farmer Portal, where the plan is eventually you can go in there when it comes to dealing with not only FSA, but NRCS, NASS, and others. It can even be a possibility of being able to use some of that information for crop insurance. The goal is for agencies across the board within USDA to be able to talk to each other, share current information, and more. And so it is interesting to note that farmers were expecting that checks were just automatically going to show up. Nope, you got a little more work. There's another step, and that is making sure that you have clicked all the right buttons and signed up. If you have questions about making sure your signups are accurate for the bridge payments that should be coming here end of February, early March, you're going to want to call your local FSA office and have that discussion with them. So we have the opportunity to give away a gift. There'll be much, much more today. We also want to make sure that if you haven't been putting things on your calendar, I have lots of items for you. One of them is that Peterson Farm Seed is hosting their Cup of Agronomy series. March 3rd, hold on, I think that's tomorrow. March 3rd, it will be in Enderlin at KNS Seeds at 10 a.m. March 4th in Minto, and March 5th in Velva. Those will be the places you can catch up to Peterson Farm Seeds Cup of Agronomy this week. Again, tomorrow in Enderlin, the 4th in Minto, and the 5th in Velva, North Dakota. So take advantage of that. Also, Kerr Auction Service is hosting another retirement auction. It's happening right now and will close tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you download the Kerr Auction app, you can avoid some bidder fees. So take a look at what's available. That's the Heller Farm Retirement Auction coming on up. Addison, did we pick up a winner?
We did, yes. He's not on the line anymore, but big congratulations to Mark V. He was our winner today.
Very glad. So, Mark, I know you might want to dash right on over, but I will have your gift available and ready for you here right around 2 o'clock.
I'm jealous of the cup.
You like that cup?
I like that.
They did a nice job. Now, we're going to take a quick gander at the livestock markets with the American Livestock Network. When we return, it's the American Ag Network with the livestock market. Goodness, that's a lot of words. But when we return, it'll be the drainage difference. Blake Sunday of Landmark is joining me here in studio. I got some questions. We've even got some articles to critique, you might say, about what's going on in other areas. So when we come back, we'll do the drainage difference right after this. There were a record 12,000 attendees at Commodity Classic last week in San Antonio. One of them was Chris Schirmer with Tech Support Farm. He had the opportunity to walk around and was met by folks right there on the trade show floor, and they did the fence check assessment with him just to gauge where their cybersecurity is at. Is it good, or could it use some improvement? And there was a number. Well, they needed some improvement. Maybe yours does too. You're going to want to get a hold of Chris, go to techsupport.farm, and do the fence check assessment to see where you stand in your cybersecurity for your farm, ranch, and agribusiness. One of the other attendees is joining me today, and that's Blake Sundy. He is with Landmark Company. So, okay, Blake, what did you get out of going down to San Antonio? I know you didn't have a booth, but how did the show go for you?
The show went really well. We, you know, like Max said on Friday, we've seen a lot of familiar faces, enjoyed talking with our existing customers and new prospects, and then just seeing the technology and the changing in the farming industry as a whole of all the stuff that they're unveiling and stuff at the show.
So one of those new technologies, to some anyway, it was, I recently read an article, and you and I had wanted to talk about this, recycling during tile water. So tell me how that works. Are we doing it just at, are we running it off the one main? Are we doing it in a different way? Let's talk about how people could be reusing tile water.
So typically for what we see with some of our customers that are doing this is it's typically a lift station set up.
Okay.
And then they'll dig a large pond and usually put a, you know, some kind of a rubber membrane in it to hold water. And figure out how many gallons they need, right? That's gonna decipher how big their pond is. And then anytime in the spring when we're pumping water, you know, because it's too much, we're filling that pond for them and get it as full as possible. And then when it's dry and our systems aren't working, then they're able to pull some relief off of their wells and their other things that, you know, because they only get allowed so many gallons to put on their fields a year. So then they can use that as extra water throughout their season.
So with that water, it's going to go back on the field it came off of, right? We're not pumping it elsewhere, et cetera.
Correct. Typically, that's what we see is it goes back on that field that it came off of.
So, and I know this may sound like a lot of elementary stuff, but I'm sure these are questions that you get from people too, just from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So is it almost like a recirculation and then they have overhead irrigation to go back out over the field?
Exactly. So the people that are doing this are using it for specifically for irrigation from mm-hmm. what we have seen. Because like I said, they only get allowed so many gallons in a season that they can pull with that well to run that irrigator. And a lot of times, if it's a real dry year, you know, after spring, they might be running short on water in, say, August.
Yeah.
And they need that water. I mean, that directly affects their yield. So if they can have that holding to get them just over the finish line, it makes a big difference for them.
Having done videos for Here We Grow in the last few years, I've been on fields that had drain tile. That water's clean. I mean, I wasn't like taking a drink out of it, but it is clear to the bottom of, you know, the capture area. It's not muddy and murky. And I think that's pretty much characteristic of what you get when you're working with water from the drain tile.
Very much, very much true. I mean, you could fill a nice clean glass and you wouldn't know the difference if it came out of your sink or, mm-hmm. or out of the tile pump, usually.
Well, I didn't drink it because I would look silly putting my entire face in there because I didn't have a cup.
Yeah, yep.
Wasn't going to work the best for me. You know, some of the emerging technology for that, do you think, and this is just pure speculation on our parts here, Blake, but do you think that because we're on a watershed that's moving northward, will we get more regulation where we almost have to start using that water, over, you know, reusing and recycling our tile water?
Well, I can tell you that I certainly hope not.
Right.
And I would assume all of our customers hope the same. But, you know, with the way the things go in the world and the population getting bigger and the demand for water getting bigger and, you know, the demand for more water on the crops, and you got to imagine it's coming, right?
Right. And I think what's important right now is the fact that, yeah, this is another way that we are showing conservation measures on the farm, right?
Correct. Yep.
Because if that water is gushing out of the tile pump, you do a lot to mitigate erosion. But if you're controlling it, as you talked about, in sort of a holding pond, that's an even better approach.
Yep, 100%. I mean, anytime you can save water and reuse it versus putting it in the ditch, going to a river and heading north, or, you know, typically in the Red River, it's going north. Anytime you can save water, it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, let's face it. And when we can get too much water off of a field so that we have better productivity, that's a good thing.
Yep.
So a listener question that I made note of, is there very much soil disturbance when it comes to tile, whether when you're laying the runs, et cetera? Can you kind of describe that for those who are listening?
Yeah. So, you know, your mains are probably your most disturbing for sure, because you're putting in a bigger pipe, which means you have a bigger plow scar from where the machine put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a lot of times there's an overcut involved. For instance, we can only plow 4 feet deep if we're plowing 24-inch dual wall, but we need to be six. So we'll take an excavator in there and take off
deeper.
That 2 feet
okay.
so that our machine can drive in the bottom of that trench and plow the rest of the four.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You've got literally got to take that first 2 feet and open it up to put the tile plow down lower.
Correct. Yep.
I was going the opposite way where I was using the tile plow first with the excavator. No, that was, now that I think it through, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yep. So in that process, we separate the black dirt to one side. However deep the black dirt is, we save that to one side. Then we put our clay on the other side, come through with our machine, and then the dozers come behind and push back the clay and then cover it back with the black dirt. And then as far as putting in your laterals, you know, at Landmark, we have something that's fairly unique in the valley here is an non-typical tile shank. So a typical tile shank is a straight up and down, let's just call it a knife.
Yeah.
That's straight up going right through the soil and creating a large plow scar. We have what we call a V shank. So it's literally a V with the center opened and your pipe comes down one of the V's to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of the ground getting completely erupted out of the trench scar, plow scar, it flows up and over and through the V.
Oh,
so
okay.
So the shank is going through like flat knives and the dirt is flowing through the center of it.
That makes a lot more sense. Okay. Now, there's another question that has come up, and it's probably going to come up continuously as we go through our spring thaw. When we talk about drain tile, first and foremost, we think about fields. But there are some farmyards, especially here in the valley, where we've got frost spots. Those soft spots that have managed to eat up probably 72 loads of gravel, you know, class five or whatever it is already. And we got to do something about them. Can you do shorter, you know, versus doing the whole big run across the field, can you do something shorter in people's yards and their businesses so we aren't getting our equipment stuck?
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Okay.
It's typically in the summertime because we're a little slower with the crops in the field. And,
oh, yeah.
And obviously we can get on in their yards. We've done several potato warehouses. We've done farmsteads. We've done building sites for where they're going to build. It's actually a new house that the guy was going to build. And the water table was just too close to the surface. So we set a lift station and a mini lift station, I should say, with like a sump pump in it, and lowered the whole water table for his yard so that he could come in and do construction and build his house. But as far as frost boils and stuff like that, we did a job just outside of Felton, Minnesota, and they had absolutely terrible, like you said, load after load after load of gravel just disappears. And, you know, you pull in with the truck and it sinks right to the front axle and gets stuck in these things. And it drastically reduced his frost boils from there on out. His yard's beautiful. And when we do that, we typically run what we call a rock boot. So we fill the trench. Instead of letting the natural dirt go back in when we plow through, we fill the trench as it's putting the pipe in at the same time with like pea rock,
mm-hmm.
so that it's pea rock all the way to the surface, and it's basically a quick French drain right to the pipe.
Oh, man. Tell you what, if somebody built a house like 20 whatever years ago, I don't know if that was an option or if we were just, you know, too young and dumb homeowners to know, but we don't have a basement because of water table height where we live. I lost that fight. So that would have made a big difference.
Yeah. So our shop, we actually tiled our farmyard, our shop. The house I grew up on is there. It was built in 1911 with a basement.
Oh, boy.
And it always got water in it.
Uh-huh.
Even after my dad had the, you know, they came in and retiled on the inside of the walls, it still sometimes in a bad year would get it. Well, we showed up and tiled the rest of the yard for frost boils and stuff like that. The basement's dry as a bone ever since.
So it doesn't just have to be drain tile in the field. We want to think creatively, and sometimes that creative might be your yard, your home, around the house. Even like you said, putting in those mini sumps or lift stations too.
Correct, yep.
Well, for folks who are, we now have sparked a light bulb for them, Blake, who and where can they call in order to have a better discussion with you?
They can get a hold of us at our office at 218-284-2936. They can go on our website and request services there, which we've gotten several. So I know it's working at www.landmarkteams.com.
Outstanding. Well, so we've already noticed that Dean's weather got cut short for whatever reason, that the American Ag Network livestock report didn't play due to a glitch. I'm really hoping that we have bottom of the hour news now that I've announced it. We'll see, Addison.
It'd be funny if we didn't.
Maybe, maybe not. So, all right, we're going to take the news. Blake, I will see you back next month in April, the first Monday of the month, for the Drainage Difference with Landmark Companies.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you. Well, now, it's been a lot of things in the headlines as of late. Let's talk about a few of them that are happening agriculturally as well. And one of the things that I want to also make sure to reiterate is that if you would like to apply for our Cass County Farm Bureau sponsored Assistant Ag Director internship, you certainly can. I have got students for March looking forward to filling more students through April and May. I'm excited to have folks join us over the summer months as well, where you get to come in and spend a day here in studio, be a co-host, ask questions, interview guests. And sometimes there's a lot of stuff happening in the background that just kind of takes off and we got to take care of as well. So that's just one thing that's going on. I don't know, Addison, you're kind of giggling.
I just love the idea that, like, you just want to drag innocent souls into this mess.
You know what? We're a fun mess.
We are. You know what? We're one of the funner shows.
We keep Oreo cookies in the snack drawer. Although, the one day I said, well, if you need something to eat, go get an Oreo. And Addison's texted response back to me was, what kind of animal thinks that you're going to eat an Oreo cookie without milk?
I just don't know how anyone who – are there people that just wake up and they're like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat a mouthful of cookies and not drink any milk.
You're
just
not wrong.
Just eat sand.
No, you're not wrong. I realized my error after saying it.
We need to get like those tiny little cartons of like True Moo that they do at like high schools.
That would be fair.
Keep some around.
I will tell you this. When I was in high school, we were still dairy farming. My dad worked with other local dairy farmers to bring a milk machine to our high school.
Really?
So we had, you know, your traditional Coke and Pepsi. But then we also had a milk machine that dispensed vanilla and chocolate, strawberry, and occasionally crazy things like banana flavored milk.
You know, I'm still hung up on the fact that you guys had a pop machine.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, apparently we had dentists who didn't care.
We did have an ice cream machine for a little while in seventh grade, and then...
What? Did somebody make that and keep it in their locker?
No.
That's the only way we were going to get one.
No, but we did... There was a year where we all did make ice cream machines in science class.
Well, we just dissected stuff, so I don't really... It's hard to say which one of us was cooler.
I'm not... Okay, well, if someone really has been paying attention to the deep Addison lore that's been dropped over the last few years, they might be able to figure out where... I'm not going to say right now, but where I went to high school, my science teacher in 11th grade, I don't know if he was like planning to retire or what, but it was like the first day of that year, and he'd been my science teacher for a couple years. We all got into class. It was one of those science classes, though, where you had to like elect to take it. It was one of those like credit things.
Yeah.
There were only like 11 of us, and it was like a couple 10th graders, a couple 11th graders. I think there was like a 9th grader and like two 12th graders. And he walked in and he was like, I don't want to do this for a year. So you guys can just do like whatever you want. And we spent months just like building like model rockets.
Well, it sounds like science.
Well, it was. But like there was no plan. Like there were no notes. There were no tests. It was just a free hour every day for.
Here, I thought you'd be hung up on the banana flavored milk.
Well, I kind of was.
But then a distraction happened.
No one remembers banana flavored milk. I have vague memories of it from when I was like really little.
Yeah.
I asked some friends about it a couple weeks ago because we were talking about different milk flavors and people thought I was crazy.
Nope. It's real.
Yeah, it's real.
I'm not going to say it was the best move ever, but it was real.
Yeah.
And then we'd get sport shakes. Those were also like, think of them as the precursor to athlete recovery milk. There. That's my best way to describe them. They came in little metal cans that looked like the pineapple juice cans you get.
I really want some strawberry milk right now.
Somebody must want some strawberry milk. I did, in fact, see we had someone calling, but you and I were busy talking. So maybe that if that person wants to call back on the JLA insurance phone line of 701-293-9000, maybe they have a banana milk story we need to share.
I'm just saying if anyone listening has any kind of contacts to Cass Clay, they do a mean chocolate milk. They could do a mean strawberry milk. someone get on that.
We're going to be on it. One of the other things that we might want to be on, Farmhouse Fraternity at North Dakota State University is certainly a builder of men, and they are looking to do philanthropy projects throughout the year. One of them is their upcoming fish fry. It's on Friday, March 20th. It will be at the Fraternity House on College Street next to the NDSU campus. The proceeds will be going to the Blood Cancer United Foundation. You can, in fact, go in and donate in advance, or you can join them for the fish fry. That also includes fries, brownies, lemonade, and coffee. That'll start at 4 o'clock. That'll start at 4 o'clock on Friday, March 20th. So Jeff wanted to call back, and he used the JLA insurance phone line. Jeff, are you in on this banana milk situation?
I am.
What you got?
So, and maybe you know about this already, but they have, at Costco, they have like a 20-pack of individual, the little milk containers with the straw, I think.
Yeah.
Or, no, it's got a cover. I think they might have a cover on top or the straw. Anyway, they're, I think it's organic, too, and they don't have to be refrigerated.
Oh, there is a shelf-stable milk that is being done. It's not as prominent in the U.S. as it is in other countries, but yes, there is a way to pasteurize for that.
Yeah, so you could buy a whole thing of them, and you wouldn't have to keep them all in the refrigerator. Just throw a few in there at a time.
Blake, excuse me, Addison, we could put those in our snack drawer.
In the snack drawer.
In the weather office. Also, one of us is going to have to get a Costco membership.
We can put that on the company card.
Yeah. Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate that heads up.
You're welcome. And that way, maybe some of the older ones, maybe they like warm milk and Oreos.
Maybe. I doubt it. The only warm thing.
Yeah, I've got it.
I've heard people talk about warm Schlitz, too, and I thought that was a bad idea. So, anywho.
Yep, got it.
Thanks, okay. Jeff.
I love your show. Thanks.
Thank you. We appreciate guys like Jeff listening and wanting to chime in today. Today's just a little bit of fun. All sorts of headlines and things going on.
We get a little off track on Wang.
We do indeed.
We were never on track today, though, to be fair.
We tried. It's been a hectic Monday here, but we're okay. We don't have to tell people it was bad. We're like that duck gliding across the lake, just pedaling underneath.
We can lie. We can simply lie.
Now, as far as some things that have been going on that aren't maybe as much fun as banana milk and positive, down in Oklahoma, they have been hit very hard with wildfires. Over 300,000 acres have burned as of late. Earlier today, a convoy of trucks took to highways and delivered bales of hay to northwest Oklahoma and southern Kansas that have been hit by those wildfires. This effort came after wildfires have spread across the states. They have burned not only fencing, but also pasture land, cattle that were unable to escape the area, and so much more. Our hearts and thoughts go out to those folks. That's three times as many acres as what were burned here in October of 2024 in northwestern North Dakota. Now, firefighters in that region have said that if you were to look at a kid's sandbox after all the vegetation burned off, that's what the area looks like after these wildfires passed through. It has just decimated them. It's not only the loss of grazing lands, which now as we approach spring, hopefully we get some rainfall down there and those folks are able to see a resurgence in grass. It's the miles and miles of fencing that has been destroyed. Animals are still being found and collected. There were a number of animals that had to be euthanized because of smoke inhalation, burns, and so much more. And so there are places that you can indeed donate not only hay, but also straw for bedding, for calving. You can donate feed stuff. You can donate a number of fencing items as well, whether it's wire, post, and so much more. And if you would like to do that, you can reach out through the cattlemen's organizations in Oklahoma, as well as Kansas. There are other private organizations in smaller counties. If you know of any and you want to send me that email, ag@flagfamily.com, I will be happy to share other places where you can, again, help out with others who have lost so much right now with those wildfires. And it feels especially difficult because a number of those cattle were bred. They were pregnant, ready to calve. And so you would lose not only the cow, but her calf. And then additionally, as we see such low numbers in the U.S. herd, and to lose more really affects us as far as our markets are concerned and the number of head that we can raise and continue to increase our herd size versus where we're at today. More to come. We still have plenty of stories to discuss. And if you have questions and you want to give us a shout, you are welcome to, again, that JLA insurance phone line, during this break, I'm going to take a chance to check my email in case y'all sent me anything good, and we'll be right back. Oh, I am so glad that when we are out on a commercial break, the rest of you can't hear me making comments about the commercials that are playing, singing the jingles. Addison has threatened to record them and play them as like a podcast sometime.
To be fair, it's a good thing no one can hear any of our between commercials. Some of the like unhinged topics that like me, you, and Dean talk about
the
sometimes.
Conversations are a little out of control, but that's what makes things happen, right?
It's what gives us a new excited energy for the next segment.
Every day. So, okay, maybe you need a different type of excited energy. Well, first of all, if you have missed a show, don't forget you can go back and you can watch on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV compliments of our Lighthouse Commodity sponsorship, where they make sure they get posted. Second of all, they will eventually hit our website where they are considered podcasts as well, and you can find them on the WDAY podcast link on our website. But there are other podcasts out there that are really great. And I saw a lot of them in the last couple of weeks doing some recording. I recently discovered the Degenerative Ag podcast. It's a group of farmers up by the Buxton-Thompson area, Buxton Reynolds-Thompson. They just like to talk about what's going on in farming. Those guys are fun. I can constantly hear the snap of a beer can opening. The same thing happens on the Agronomist Happy Hour podcast, where they not only talk agronomy, but they too open a beer while they're doing it, because we raise so much barley in North Dakota. I think it's only fair that we make sure that we include one of our favorite crops on these podcasts that are done in North Dakota. Side note, one of the Budweiser Clydesdales was brought in by Anheuser-Busch last week, so people could stop by and have their photo taken with one of those very pretty beasts.
That would be cool.
It was very cool. If you are looking for more of a business-focused podcast, Farm for Profit, those guys are out of Iowa, David Tanner and Corey, and they do a phenomenal job of talking about relevant topics in farming, because you have a banker, a farmer, and a farm real estate broker. So they're pretty interesting. Locally, Tommy Grisafi, who lives in Indiana and North Dakota, he does the Ag Bull podcast if you're looking for farm markets and really trading overall. So Tommy's got a pretty good podcast. And there's some of our very favorites, like Shark Farmer. I myself do the Rural Well podcast, which is all about rural and mental health in the region. I do that with a podcast partner out of Ontario. She's a sheep farmer as well as a certified licensed therapist. And also on Fridays on Twitter, I do the Nooner Chat, and we go ahead and put that up as a podcast. The reason I still call it Twitter, I won't go to X. Here's why. When Twitter decided to announce that you could do these lives and I could record them and do them as a podcast, that was great. And I had a farmer give me the name of the Nooner Chat. And then Twitter became X. And if you tell people you have the Nooner Chat on X, now they just made it weird. So I can't do that. It's still Twitter.
My mom's a big Elon Musk fan. My mom keeps up with a lot of like what Elon Musk does. Mm-hmm. She knows that Twitter was renamed to X like 2 years ago. It's been a while.
She just can't get past it though, right?
Rest in peace, the Twitter bird. I missed the little blue bird. Over Christmas, I was on my phone and I like got up to go use the bathroom. I left my phone on the couch. It was unlocked. It was just on my home screen.
Uh-oh.
And my mom like leaned over and looked at my home screen. She saw the Twitter icon on my phone and was like, what is that? You just have that on your phone home screen? And I was like, Mom, that's Twitter. And she was like, oh. I don't like the rebrand. I'm going to be honest. I don't like it.
I've never gone with it. There are some things that you just can't change in life. And that's one of them. Other things that you can change, though, there's a new study going on for women in agriculture. This one is, you can find the study, womeninagsurvey.com. So why are they doing this? First of all, let me preface this by saying it's wonderful that they want to do a study focusing on women in ag. But frankly, I really just don't care what you do in ag. Regardless of your gender, just do your job. That's all I care about, whether you're male or female. But the reason that they are using this study is it's a whole nationwide effort to get women's voices from across all 50 states and Puerto Rico. The survey is open through March 31st. For those of you who would like to do the study, I did put a link on our Facebook page for Weather and Ag in Focus. And you can go ahead, offer your perspectives. The objectives of this are to capture the diverse perspectives from all 50 states and Puerto Rico understand leadership pathways, identify training needs and preferences, as well as highlighting opportunities for community building and representation. And the findings will be shared at the International Year of the Woman Farmer ACE Summit in Washington, D.C. in June. So if you are 18 or older, you can again do the Women in Ag study. And if you need the link for it, I have put it on our Facebook page, or just drop me a message, ag@flagfamily.com, and I will be happy to share that with you. It is the Year of the Woman Farmer. That's one of the highlights for 2026. And I think we're going to have a lot of things coming up here in the next few weeks, especially as we rapidly approach National Ag Week, which is the third week of March. We're going to have some things to be sharing with a number of you. You'll be excited to see and look forward to. NDSU Extension has developed their Plotting a Course 2026 publication. This projects 2026 commodity prices. It has planning documents that can be used for preparing your annual enterprise budgets and annual whole farm cash flow projections. This publication not only has livestock, but crops as well. We know that a bright spot certainly is the livestock market these days. And when I talk about crops, we're going to include the small grains such as wheat, durum, oats, barley, sunflower, soybeans, corn, canola, flax, dry beans, and so many more. So please do take a look at that. Again, that's from NDSU Extension. That is their commodity publications that give you the projections to be using this year. In some cases, your banker likes to see them. You might be able to use those with your farm business manager that you are doing some of your plotting and planning for the coming year with, etc. Well, looking forward to tomorrow. Lots to share. We'll also be joined for our Essentia Health Fit Farmer segment. We are going to be talking about colon rectal cancer and how we can avoid and what we should be looking for. Meanwhile, Jay Thomas is up next.